it was set up like it wasn't.
Good evening and welcome to the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District Board of Directors regular meeting. At this time, I'd like to call our meeting to order at 7 p.m. If you all rise with Kevin Graves for our pledge of allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Steele?
Here.
Vice President Pease?
Here.
Director Graves?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Simon?
At this time, we'll have public comments. Individual public comments will be limited to a three-minute time limit. During the public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time that the item is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. Is there any public comment this evening? Thank you. There's no public comment. We'll close public comment now. Item C, presentations. General Manager, please.
Thank you. I just want to make one quick introduction. Steve Greenfield, can you please stand up real quick? Steve is going to be the district's drought water monitor starting next week through the end of the summer. And make sure that we maintain compliance with state law. So Steve will be on board and you might see him running around town.
Welcome.
Be careful what you wish for.
Steve's a retired fire captain from San Jose.
Are there any other presentations? All right, moving on to item D, President's Report and Director's Comments. Any comments?
I have some.
We're just trying to get.
Thank you.
We have a new podium in here, a new dais for the board here, so we're trying out new seating configurations tonight. So there are a couple seats in the front if anybody needs a seat. At this time, we'll move on. Have no President's Report at this time. Consent calendar.
Move staff recommendation.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on to item F, business and action items. Consideration of the annual fiscal year 2015-16 and fiscal year 16-17 operating capital revenue budgets and the adoption of resolution number 2015-10. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Please present the spending plan for fiscal 15-16 and the plan for 16-17 as part of our two-year budget cycle. This year, the budget is approximately $17 million. $10 million of that is in the capital budget. Of that $10 million, approximately $7 million is unfunded due to the $7 million is for the filtration project. And as you know, we need to find funding for that project. That's in regional water quality control work fire project. Our O&M is about $3.8 million and it is, I believe, about $120,000 more than last year. So about a little more than 1%. We will be using next year reserves due to our losses in water revenues from the drought, from people conserving, and that's going to be about in the amount of approximately $67,000. The budget itself meets revenues meet expenditures, with the exception of that $7 million that's unconstrained, meaning that there's not a revenue source for it. CIP is the remainder of the CIP is a little over $3 million. And we also have the denitrification project coming online in the next couple of years, and that's in and out here. But just so you remember, that's about $6.75 million, again, from the State Water Board requirements. The Infrastructure Replacement Fund is continuing to be supported in the amount of $525,000 annually for a variety of different infrastructure items. Our current fund holds approximately $2.376 million in it after next year. This year, we ended the year with a number of accomplishments. It was certainly, as we get June 30th, it was certainly a year that was challenging with the drought, but we still were able to move forward with some additional programming, maturation of the community center. This afternoon, I was outside with about 100 kids in the swimming pool. There were probably about another 40 or 50 people out on the sidelines sitting and having open conversations, so it was nice to see that. The water and wastewater construction projects for the bonds, those are going to be wrapping up this summer. So that 14.1 billion initial funding for those will be wrapping up. And we also completed our first ever dog park in market calendars for June 30th. 2 weeks from last night, we'll be having a grand opening of the dog park. And that will be a nice event that's going to be participating in the Chamber of Commerce on that one. As I did note, with the drought, and as you can see around town, the front entrances are bars and landscaping. It is wreaking havoc on our landscaping. As we move deeper into summer, a little bit of precipitation on the horizon, our landscape areas will continue to show signs of stress. We're going to lose trees, plants, and turf to the drought. As a sidebar note, I have been in contact with the county. Seeking information from them so that they can possibly go to the governor to possibly see what the governor can do with respect to emergency funding. If there's a flood taking place and things are damaged, it's the same thing. And so trying to get some outside funding for that, I'm not sure if we're going to be successful. For this year, I'm not planning any new regular full-time employees. The salary schedule will remain the same. I am looking at doing some reorganization, possible consolidation, and I'll be bringing that back to the board later, first quarter of this coming fiscal year. Website, and I'm going to give a little presentation of that a little bit later. It's in the final design and planning stages. Staff spent a day last week with the developers, came down here, and we were able to spend a lot of time working with the new website, editing it, making sure we knew how it works, and making the changes before we go live. We're hoping to be able to have that by July, hopefully late July or August at the latest. This next year brings about, we're currently in the fifth year of our five-year contract with Peoria Water. As you recall, we have a five-year contract with 2 5-year renewal options. So we will be working with Peoria, starting this fall and after summer, towards negotiating and working out a new contract to implement the second five-year cycle on that. The board will probably be working, seeing that sometime late this year, early 2016, if it expires in May. And what I'd like to do is cycle it with the regular budget cycle, so it would be a July 1 and June 30, so we'll probably do a couple-month extension moving forward and then get into the annual cycle. Our general reserve account, which is healthy, as you heard from our auditors just a few weeks ago, contains about $4.1 million in it, which is well above our $3 million threshold. As you recall, we've been putting some monies away for that big project that's going to be going in, that filtration project, so we're hoping to be able to use some of those funds for that. I'd like to thank Mark and Bob for participating, Director Simon and Lee for participating in the budget review committee cycle. I'd also like to thank Ian and her staff and everybody that spent time and effort on the budget this coming year, including Virgil and Greg Harris. Most importantly, I want to thank the board for the continued support that you show us and staff to be able to continue the projects that are important to the community. I'd like to think that we were resourceful, innovative, and successful this past year. We faced a number of challenges and hope we navigated them to the expectations of the 14,000 people that called Discovery Bank home. We look forward to an even more successful 2015-16. Budget, the board did go into the budget pretty in depth at the workshop. As I mentioned, I believe we made one change. We added $36,000. We left off inadvertently our contract with Fuel Well Safety off the original document, so we added that back in. So that is included in there, and have any questions, Dina, Finance Manager, Bryce Dean is here to answer any questions. Got the budget for you. I have one change on the resolution, the adopting resolution. It was an older resolution that was reutilized and it references an earlier year, so you get that change, get that corrected.
Mark?
Before we vote on the budget, I'm going to ask this board one more time, please consider this. We are operating this town. We have really no budget surplus. We're bleeding pretty much everything that we have. We have water rationing, which is going to cut our water income, and we have property taxes and water income. We have basically pillaged Zone 8. This is our last year's money, there's no more money. We're running this community center at a $225,000 loss. We have an $800,000 a year bond payment. We're looking at more infrastructure repairs than we had before, which would be more millions of dollars we're going to spend. We're about to ask people to put the water meters in 9 years at their expense, and they're not happy about it. It's hard for me to support a budget that has a $200,000 cardboard in it at the same time asking people to sacrifice. And I'm asking the board to please consider approving the budget tonight without the cardboard. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Any other?
I have just two questions there. The first, with regard to the capital improvement program, I've kind of lost track. When do we expect to achieve Title 22 status on our effluent? I can't remember which project that's attached.
That's filtration. That's the first project. And that will be going, the design on that project is completed. It is at the Regional Water Board being reviewed, and they are in the process of giving us authorization to move forward. We have to bring back to the board, and I'll be talking to you later this evening. I'm trying to schedule that workshop with the board to get the financing team down from the CSDA. That is a project that we need to get into construction in 2016, and in the first half of 2016.
And once that project is completed,
yes,
and we have Title 22 effluent, that would be available for landscape irrigation in some of our areas?
Yes. In fact, I met with the golf course yesterday and mentioned to them, because as you know, they get their water from Delta, that once we have that project in place, we would be able to provide Purple Pipe reclaimed water to the golf course. It's a relatively short run from the wastewater treatment plant to that location. And so that's something that triggered in their mind. And I've also spoken to, I believe his name is Dan Gabe, the Marina, manager over there. And he's interested in that as well. So we'll see what happens. It's a 2-year construction project.
Yeah, so it's out of way, but we could also look at trucking options for our own landscape irrigation.
Absolutely. And I know I saw in the news today that Brentwood is offering their residents free of charge. And I'm going to be speaking with Brentwood to see if they would make that available to our residents as well as a good faith. And so we'll see what happens with that. I'll let you know what happens with that. So.
Thank you.
Vice President?
Yeah, just two questions on financing strategy. If my memory is correct, on the community center, we're going to get an update or some financing strategies in October. Is that my understanding of that correct?
That's correct. Okay. Bart Wells will be updating our 5-year model. They've done two previous 5-year models for us. First one, the last year, they updated with the data from the prior fiscal year. This October, they'll update with the data from this current fiscal year. And the Zone 8 fund balance is over $400,000. So I'm not sure that the number that, and it's in the, it's later in the agenda. There's the financial report is included in the agenda.
Well, I think and I agree with that. I think my concern is the long term. This is the 5 to 10 years out.
Yes.
We're incrementally reducing our fund balance a little bit. So I think, so in October, I just want to be on record that we'll have a good discussion about future ways to handle our operations for the community center at that point.
Yeah, as soon as the county closes out their books, because you know we rely on them as our treasurer. And so when they close out their books, we'll be able to then provide that information to Barry Wells. We'll then drop this current year into their financial model. We'll come back in October.
And the second question, the last question, is on the financing strategies for the filtration project. Do we have a date yet with the consultant that was supposedly going to come in and give the board some options on that.
I'm going to be asking the board at the end of the meeting tonight to open up the calendars and let's get some schedule.
Thank you.
Some dates.
Director Grace?
Thanks, Chris. With regards to the topic that Director Pease was talking about with being this building here, I think it's important that we make sure that we, the effect of some of the developer decisions that are going to be made as we close out some of the books with some of the developers in town is going to affect the budget here and what funds are available. And I think it's important that we kind of get those negotiations out of the way prior to making any real long-term plans, because it will affect cash flow and investment opportunities.
According to you, Rick, at our last meeting, next year we would run out of zoning. That was, came right from you. Yeah. I can also tell you that when Farron was here, we let our vendors go and didn't renew their contracts because we would not have the money to do this and pay them. So either she lied to us or something was happening. I'm just going by what she sort of told us. If we cannot renew our zoning contract.
Director Simon, I would refrain from using the word.
I'm just using what was told us.
I didn't hear it then.
I did. Sorry, I apologize. At the last meeting, we'll be out of money in zoning next year. Anyway.
Any further discussion from the board? Thank General Manager Howard and Dina and all of our staff on getting this together, the engineering team. I know this is quite an endeavor and due diligence, and I think you spelled it out very clearly. Is there any public comment? Discussion? All right, is there a motion?
Well, in light of Director Steele's comments on the cardboard.
Director Simon,
excuse me. I'm not sure how the rest of the board feels about that. I can go either direction.
I would make a motion to accept the budget as presented.
I'll second it. Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Director Steele, could I offer a substitute motion? That we approve the budget with the exclusion of the carport and that we bring it back to the Finance Committee for discussion.
I don't know now we're running into parliamentary law that's over my head. So, Council?
It requires.
Yeah, so you have a motion on the floor. You have a request under further discussion, a request to modify your motion. So if the maker of the motion would like to accept the modification and the second would like to accept that modification as well, you've met your obligations.
This is something we've been discussing for 3 years. We need to protect our equipment. I don't see the. It needs to get done. In my opinion, that's why I'm accepting that. So no, I'm not willing to modify my motion.
I'll call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
That's. I didn't hear your vote correctly.
No.
No. Okay, so 3-2, motion carries. Thank you. All right.
Move. Just to make sure, Karen, you do have the
yes.
The no's and the okay.
Yes.
Okay, good question.
Oh, I thought I got this. I'm sorry.
You only took the eyes. You didn't take the nose. So I think we know who it is now.
All right. We're sorry about that. Okay. So the eyes was pretty clear.
Yes, carries.
And the nose was pretty. Okay, those were Simon and I think. All right. We'll move on here to item 2, naming of the town facilities and adoption of resolution 2015-11. Manager, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, members. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Back on May 20th and again on June 3rd, President Steele requested the board consider naming the baseball field at Cornell Park after the late Darrell Weed. Discovery Bay resident Mr. Weed spent countless years coaching Little League baseball to many kids who live here in town. And President Steele received a request from a resident asking that the field at Cornell Park be named in his honor. Mr. Weed was a captain in the fire station in San Jose Fire Department truck number 35C, and unfortunately passed away unexpectedly on November 27, 2014. He's been a wife and four children, as well as a large extended family, and his fire department brothers and sisters. served in the U.S. Army in the Panamanian Special Forces Division, and participated in the ousting of the Panamanian President. At the request of the board, staff will be with council to put together a policy that is before you this evening. You have, I presented three different options. There could be many more than three. But the policy as it is on page 99 to 200 would give three different criteria. One would be naming a facility after individuals, families, or organizations, which should be considered when they have made distinguished public service or community activities to the community. And that would be after a 5-year waiting period. So the three of the options that I provide to the board this evening, one is to adopt the policy changes and comply with the terms of the policy. Or adopt the policy, and you can make changes if you want to comply with the terms of the policy. Move forward with the name change and adopt the policy after that has taken place. Or take no action and send it back for further review for the discussion. And you may have your own set options as well. So essentially that is the request this evening. I'm guessing that the large part of the audience here is here for this evening. It's nice to see them here. So without legal, and I will be able to answer the questions.
I just want to say something real quick. So I knew Darrell Weaver for about 10 years now. He was a fixture at the Cornell Park baseball field on the weekends. And one of the things I admired about him was that anybody in our community was could be a part of the game of catch or hitting the ball or going out and having a fun game. And it was just like every weekend I could count on Darrell to be there with his crew and whoever won. It was just great pickup ball. And I admired him for all of the embracing of all types and all skill levels, and everybody was included, and I liked his inclusion and his sportsmanship, and he was always there to be a good example and not to be critical, and I thought that he was very admirable in how he handled the kids and how he handled his neighbors, and that's why I've been bringing this forward to you guys. But I appreciate you guys' consideration on this tonight, and I know there's some great a lot of great experience out there working with Darrell and the people who play with him.
I think he's very deserving of it, and we should just move ahead with option two.
Okay. Just one, and I agree wholeheartedly, but I just have a question with regards to, we have some areas that have been named here in Discovery Bay in the past, but those were named, we don't have a policy in place because those were named by the county previous to this occurring, or?
Well, Slifer Park is county parks. So they would have named that park.
That was before my time.
The Bird of Us was a, it's a town top.
Okay. We did it without a policy, is what you're saying. Okay. It's time for a policy, but it's also time to address the situation with Mr. Wiegand. And I don't have any other comment, but I'd sure love to hear from some. I'd love to hear from some of the people in the audience. Sorry, Chris.
Go ahead.
I'd like to hear from the audience. I didn't know the man. He sounded like he's done a great job, so I'd like to hear a little bit from the community.
All right. Is there any public comment?
Someone be bold.
Come on.
Be bold.
Let's play ball.
Good evening, board. My name is Elaine Landreau. I have the pleasure of actually living directly across the street from Cornell Park, so I can absolutely tell you that no other vehicle was in that parking lot more than the Darrell Weaver truck. And it started a long time ago when his children were very small and the lugging of the pitching machine and not only on the weekends, but many, many, many weeknights and evenings he would be there. I didn't know Ed Cornell. I understand that he was someone in our community from the very beginning. I would believe from what I've heard of him that it was his vision for this park that has been named after him this is exactly the type of legacy that he would like it to see continued. Daryl taught more than how to be a good neighbor. Like Chris said, he included everyone. He had an ability to bring children and adults alike around him and to feel good about yourself, which is a huge part of baseball, but it's a huge part of life. I was speaking with someone earlier that reminded me that Daryl did more than teach baseball at what we have all most recently been discussing as Daryl Wheaton Field of Dreams. So I would encourage, it sounds like this is already a positive board on this topic, I would encourage the policy change, whatever that may be, so that this can happen for such a great man and such a great family and our very great community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other public comment?
She just said, we've had the honor and privilege of knowing the Wheaton family for over 10 years. And first knowing them on a personal basis, our kids went to school together. And then about 4 years ago, the privilege of one of our sons actually being on his baseball team. He's coached baseball for over 9 years. I believe he's touched way more than these kids that you see right here, way more. Because when people found out about his passing, people were shocked. And as Chris said, Cornell Park, it was a pickup game on a Sunday if it wasn't baseball season. When it was baseball season, it was his team there practicing. He had his kids out there constantly. Having this field named after him would be such an honor in memory of him, but also to his gorgeous legacy. Thank you for your consideration.
Any other comments? All right, well, at this time we'll close.
Hi, I'm Anita Saul. I had the pleasure of living next door to Daryl for 12 years. And 3 houses down, I will tell you that what that man embodied is community. He, in and of himself, was a community. He was a light. He was one of the most admirable and friendly and giving men I have ever known. This town would be honored to have his name associated with it. He is truly a light. Sorry. It just sucks that you have to talk to him in past tense. So I hope that you can create a policy that can facilitate a quicker adaptation of that name, because I think it reflects on us as a community, and that we embrace and appreciate people who are that kind of a quality. If it would reflect well on our town.
Any other comments?
Do we have a motion on the floor? We have a motion that
it's a procedural question first, and I'll let you make your motion. We'll be taking 2 separate actions here, one with regard to Mr. Wheaton, and then a second motion on the policy. In that order.
If that's the pleasure of the board, right? You couldn't adopt the current policy in the form it is, and then name the park after Zero Mule. So you'd have to name the park, and then once that passes, then we would consider a policy and any other changes that would come to the policy.
And that'll expedite the situation, right?
Yes.
Prior to that, if I could.
Go ahead.
There's a couple items that are mentioned in here. One is that the friends of Daryl have offered to fund this, and I think that would be the best way to go, because I think the public sector can do things a little more frugal than getting the staff involved, or not getting the staff involved, but having the town try to figure all this out. So my suggestion for the board would be to consider having the funds, the donation, whatever type of plaque, monument, whatever is decided by the community, have them work on that, but work with staff for the exact location and work size and all those, so we don't have any issues along that way. So it'll be a joint effort in that aspect. The only other thing I have is, and I think it's great to have the field named in honor of Daryl, but the last portion, you know, Field of Dreams, I know what it's meant today because there's movies and all that, but if we have to look forward into the future, another 15, 20, 30 years from now, so maybe if we would consider dropping just Of Dreams portion of it, and just have the Daryl Wheaton Field, and it's at Cornell Park. I think from our standpoint, the governmental standpoint, probably a little better way to think about it. That's my comment.
Yes, sir.
I would make the motion that we accept option two as described. Move forward with the name change to Daryl Wheaton Field at Cornell Park. At this point, that would be the motion that I would make, and I do appreciate the fact that the public wants to get involved in the process of putting up whatever, and I appreciate what you're saying. It's not that we don't want to do it, it's just that it costs four times as much for us to do something as it does for the public, for you guys to do it. So I think that's kind of where we're going with this, right? So I would make that motion that we rename the ball field at Cornell Park, the Daryl Wheaton Field at Cornell Park.
I'll second.
I'll call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous? All right, thank you very much.
Second item.
Yeah, with regard to the policy, under item number three, where you talk about directors and so forth, I would offer that we should include employees and staff as well in the five-year space.
Where are you seeing that? I'm sorry.
Under item number three.
Item
on page 99.
What page of the?
99.
Yeah.
Under specific criteria for naming new or existing facilities.
Okay.
It reflects only naming them after board members, and they have to be a five-year period. I'm just saying it should be board members, staff, employees.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Item number three. Absolutely.
With that change, I would make a motion.
I'll second it.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous? All right, well, thank you very much on that item. I'd like to call for a five-minute recess, and we'll come back here in 5 minutes. Thank you.
Okay, where are we next?
All right, I'd like to bring the meeting back into session. We're moving on to item G, informational items, district financial statement report for the period ending March 31st, 2015.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. On page 104 of 200, you have your quarterly financial report for the period ending March 31, 2015. This is an informational item only. Dean is here and can answer any questions you may have. The water wastewater fund started out with $7.8 million plus revenues of $6 million plus expenditures of $4 million for a reserves of 5.6 for fund balance of $4 million. And that's what we have in our fund balance account. Zone 8 fund balance is, West Reserves is $400,000, plus the $109,000 fund balance. And then the Zone 9 has about $44,000, plus the reserves are $50,000. And we have about $2.5 million remaining in the financing authority bond balance that will be spent by the end of the summer. So if there are any questions on that, this is a quarterly item that comes to you. Like I said, Dina's here, she can answer any questions. And the backup is listed on the next 6, 7, 8 pages.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark, we're almost at 100. We're almost at 100.
Mr. President. Now, hi. Mr. Microphone.
You don't have to touch.
You don't touch.
He'll hear you.
So you asked a question about revenue. We were up to $80,000 up through March, and then I just input another 17 for April.
I can't hear you. I don't know. I thought it was just me. It's trying something new.
So we're looking at the community center through April, about $97,000.
Can you show us where the $97,000 comes from? We have revenue $97,000 the first 3 months of the year.
Oh, you're asking for the first 3 months. No, sorry, I'm doing the whole year.
Because I can't hear you, so I'm not sure.
I'm doing the whole year. Sorry, I didn't do the first 3 months. I understand that was the question.
So you're anticipating about $90,000 of revenue?
I have so far for fiscal year, this fiscal year, $97,000 of revenue through April. Okay, so we have May and June to go.
Yeah, the only comment that I wanted to make is I'm very pleased that we're able to put some funds into reserves in each of the different areas that we're responsible for. So that's very positive, and I want to comment staff for the ability to balance the budget and the financing committee to actually help make that happen. That's very positive from my viewpoint. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Looking good, thank you.
Discussion. All right. Let's move on to the other.
Mr. President, before you leave that none of those fund balances include the amount of money that is in the developer deposit holding account, correct? And that's about a little over $1 million.
Yes. Well, they're on the first page.
I just wanted to remind the board that's an account that is identified. It's a separate account that is it's in the backup, but it's a separate account that is at ECC Bank. It can only be spent on projects that they pay into. Thus, the majority of that money, and not all that money, would be used for the recreation project.
So to be clear, it's in addition to the funds that we see in this report. Thank you.
All right, move on to item H, Veolia report, May 2015 Veolia report.
Bernie is on vacation this week. He will give the April May report, or the May and June report at the July meeting. He's in Indiana. He said it's been raining like crazy. I told him to ship some of it. He did give me some information today for 2014 and 2013, we used about 145 million gallons of water. We're about 45 million right now, halfway through the month. So if you do the math, that's about a third tracks about the same.
Moving on here, manager's report.
Yes, I would like to bring to your attention and remind the board that back on March 30th, we had our computer network was infected by an email that we received by a member of the staff, if you recall at the time, Farron had left us. We done up to shortly before that, and we were getting people sending me resumes and asking positions that might be available. I saw the article in the newspaper, and thus there was some activity from there. It wasn't uncommon to see an email that had a resume attached to it. It came from a person with two common first name, or a common first and last name, Joe Smith or something like that, I don't recall the name. But once that attachment was open, you can say the corruption took over. We immediately shut down our network. We contacted our IT staff that are in the back of the room to answer any questions you might have. Rod referred us to a company out of Bay Area, the local Bay Area firm that has offices throughout the state, called Innovative Computer Systems, and they've dealt with the subject in the past. And so what ended up taking place is we had to burn 37,000 files, about a little over 1% of our files, 3%, sorry, a little over 3% of our files. None of our data files got encrypted. None of our financial numbers from our customer databases were infiltrated or anything like that. This particular program attacks files of your Microsoft Word documents, your Excel documents, any graphics you might have. Those are your working documents, from day-to-day working documents. The fact that we were literally elbow deep in budget prep at the time, and the files that got hit were all in finance, and they were all in Deans Drive. What ended up happening is all of our files got corrupted. And it was something we could not take, we just couldn't recover in the time needed. After evaluating the system, ICS came out, they made some recommendations. We are now in the system for 4 terabyte hard drives that are rotated out on a weekly basis. It gives us additional security. The fact that it did happen was unfortunate. It cost us probably in the neighborhood of $5,000 to $7,000, and I would include lost productivity in that as well. So it wasn't overtly expensive, but it was certainly extremely frustrating and annoying, and probably one of the most frustrating things I've ever gone through. Plus, it was embarrassing for us. You don't want to have that happen. ICS provided a report to the board, or to me, that is in the packet this evening for you, and Ken can address any of those questions you might have with respect to that. I feel that at this point in time, we are safer than we were then. We certainly have a lot more security measures in place. It was unfortunate that the employee who got hit was on vacation the week before, and the virus software expired while she was on vacation. So it was an unfortunate set of circumstances. I can tell you that every network, every computer, every server, every backup system, and every storage device has been scanned for malware and virus, and virus software was updated if that was necessary. Now, we're not alone in this. I guess if the White House can get it, we can get it. As you've been hearing about in the news recently, there's been a lot of big name agencies and companies that have been hacked and hacked into. You're not hearing too many of the ransomware ones like we got. The police department back east got it. Two cities down in Southern California got it recently after we did, actually. And so just bringing it to light and letting you know what we've been going through. And if you want to answer any questions that you guys might have with respect to it and what we're doing moving forward and the measures that we're taking. One of the things that ICS recommends, and I don't really understand it, maybe Ken can describe it a little bit better than I can, is more of a system that instead of having antivirus software on the individual devices or computers, after it comes in, it actually blocks it from the very beginning of the front end. And it's analytical in nature, meaning it learns from itself. It's fairly reasonably priced. We haven't gotten to the point where we're ready to do that quite yet, because we're still working on getting back to a position where we can now move forward, and we're getting pretty close to doing that. So, Ken, can you describe that a little bit?
Sure, Rick. Ken Butler, principal owner of Big Dog Computer at Murder Drop and House, will also assist. Just want to say that it's not a matter of 5th, but when you're going to get hit these days, unfortunately. And I think the ability to react is what the measure is, and I think that the leadership that Mr. Howard provided, as well as the staff on top, really limited our exposure in a big way. It was the Europe Wall 3 virus from Croatia, as you mentioned. But we do have input protection in place now from Symantec, which is kind of what Rick was referring to, which will notify us anytime that there is a potential breach or problem going on out there. We also use malware bites, which is included in every machine. And so we're much more diligent now than we have been in the past. And I feel that while there's always room for improvement, certainly the advice of counsel and providing ICS to us as an outside set of eyes has certainly been helpful for us in creating a punch list that we're certainly going through today, in addition of security measures.
You were talking about firewalls and having that type of a device armor in place, but that doesn't really stop USB drives and bringing stuff from home, connecting phones.
Right, that's correct, Director Steele. We have employed endpoint protection where we actually can turn off the ability for people to plug in a USB device like your community center, where it won't allow USB drives to be enabled. So we have the ability to turn that on or off. If someone wants to come by, for example, plug a USB stick into the system in front of your booth, we would have that ability to turn that off.
I understand we didn't lose any data, or there was not a stealing of our database?
No, no, sir. They go after 300 extensions. Mr. Howard mentioned that it's mostly just your regular working files. The .dbx and .db files were not affected. So our water system, billing system, Cassell was intact. Our LaserFish documents systems were not affected. And in fact, I think around from tip to tip, we're only down about 10 hours to the community facing elements. So we were very lucky in that respect.
Considered an older guy, so I'm a little slow on the computer stuff, but just so I could ask the basic question, and I think I understand the answer, but if one of our residents was to go online, when we finally come up with the meter system where they could actually monitor and go online and see their usage and all that, if someone were to get into that and try to access us that way, is that we have security over those types of things?
Yep.
That's your third party.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily through us. The data gets uploaded from the endpoint user, the customer, to a server somewhere managed and maintained by somebody else. It doesn't come from us.
All right, so we're totally isolated from that information. Yes. Totally, okay.
But one of the challenges we have today is that due to the fact that computing power is so much more has increased dramatically, is that our current email service provider, where the attack came through, Rackspace, scans all of our emails and looking for payloads and packets and things of that nature. What happens now, especially in the Eastern Bloc, is they encrypt each payload with a new signature. So what we're looking for in the past for a particular signature or payload, if you will, from one of these actors, is different every single time they send an email out. We felt it was a little bit incumbent upon Rackspace to do some filtration. We opened up a dialogue with them as well as Symantec to find out why these things kind of got through to us and why they're so effective, because we do have protections in place. Unfortunately, it's just very, very sophisticated ransomware attack that we experienced.
Right, so the new protocol that the firm from LA is suggesting, and I understand we're not doing that yet. How far away are we from being able to implement that, and what's the average cost of doing that?
The cost, I don't recall, but the benefit is you're not paying for a antivirus on every desktop and laptop. But Director President Steele's comments resonated deeply with me when he mentioned the fact about flash drives, because that's how a lot of times we work. Our data can only be transmitted by email, and certain size files. And so if the files are too big, we then take them and move them by flash drive, and that could be problematic. So we're going to have to sit down and reassess that. The theory is that the front end, before it even enters into our network, will be caught. But it would be like a stopgap on the front end, and it would get caught at that point and wouldn't be allowed in. Because right now, it would be allowed in, theoretically, and then your virus protection on your laptop or desktop would then catch it. Interesting to know, it was caught on two other computers when the file was open, but it wasn't caught on one with virus protection that expired a week before.
Do we use Comcast as our business class internet connection?
Not over at the district office with AT&T,
just here.
DSL.
As a business class customer of Xfinity Comcast, I have Symantec, Norton systems, this ongoing updates, and I rely on that. And I caught the virus through I didn't open my package, but it caught it and flagged it in my email.
As Mr. Hart pointed out, it was also sent to two other people, yeah. and it was caught there, but it was just a perfect storm for us, unfortunately. But again, how we dealt with it, I think, was sterling in effect, because we were able to mitigate the spread and really any serious damage above and beyond just the natural data during a very budget crunch type times.
Yeah, how did we allow the security software to lapse? Don't we have automatic things, or how does that happen?
Every piece we do now on every one of our systems. As a result of this, we had individual licenses that came with machines and some different group licenses. We've now employed Symantec Endpoint Protection, which is for every single machine, for every single employee for the town that is kept up to date, and also has a reporting capability in a cloud-based model. You can actually see what's going on. John and I are notified anytime there's a soft hit on the machines, or even something very critical, we're notified immediately to take actions.
All right. So prior to what we're doing now, it's kind of one-on-one kind of thing.
Correct.
Okay.
Now we were in the process actually of rolling out Symantec Endpoint Protection. So one week more, we probably would not have experienced that.
Any other questions? Thank you for the quick response, and I'm glad it wasn't worse than what it could have been.
Yeah, we're sorry that Tom experienced it.
John and Ken spent, we sent Ken to the hospital for this week. He actually went to the hospital because of this, and everybody took it very personally. It was exceptionally stressed out over it. And two of these gentlemen, as well as Don and Trulio from ICS, were just exceptionally helpful, and like I said, it could have been worse.
Thank you. Yeah, we've got some great computer support here, so thanks for all your efforts. Great, thanks for managing the stress level for all of us. All right, any other managers report?
Yeah, I got a couple things. I just want to show you the website. It is, trying to get through this real quickly. If you recall, we talked about some of the things in terms of how easy it is to make changes and how difficult the old one was to make changes. So I just go here to district government, for example, and I can click on board of directors. And there we go. I'm able to see all of my smiling picture faces. It's cut off on the TV, but it's not cut off on the screen. So if I wanted to go in here, for example, and I wanted to, where is it, Carol?
Are you logged in the top corner?
Yeah,
logged
in.
There
we go.
Or the bottom. Is that right there?
I can edit this post, and it's going to pop up. And this just makes it how easy it is to be able to go in and do something like this. I can go down here, and I can say, yes, you do.
Are you trying to be Rocky now? Is that what you're trying to do?
No.
Because I think they already got an example of it.
Okay, so I just went in and added it. We're all having having fun. I go down here and I hit save. And it's going to do that. And then we scroll back down. And there you see it. We're all having fun. That would be what it would look like on the live side. I'm in edit mode. So when we were getting trained last week, I had pictures of all of you that we did over here. And the old pictures were still up because they migrated everything from the old site to this site. And I just sat there and Mike updated all the pictures right then and there. And so we're going to be working on this up the next couple of weeks.
Where's the checklist? How soon is this going to be provided?
They're also under district government board of directors.
That didn't change. That's kind of similar to the old one from that perspective.
Board of directors, click that, and then the agendas will show there. The top one.
Does it work on an iPad? Have you tried on an iPad yet?
No, but I'm telling you what, it works great on the mobile device. I use it on the big one, but there's a great mobile device for it. It looks terrific.
So when is
the agendas and meetings are right here. And it's also up here at the top. It's set up on a bar tab versus the way we have it set up right now. So you just click on 2013.
That's all right.
Yeah.
When is it going to come online?
Hopefully within the next 45 days. We the site is built. We know how to work it. There's a few things we want to do.
Go up a little bit.
Yeah. Well. So for example. Yeah. These are all so, those pictures.
As a golfer, nobody wants to have a long game of golf on the weekend, okay?
It's funny you bring that up because today, I was trying to edit that out today because I thought the exact same thing. So this is what they call the carousel. And so they just drop some pictures in. We're going to add some more. We'll add some of our facilities and some nice pictures of town. And then they have what's called an portal down here. And so you can come down here and there's a... These are called accordions, and this could be a picture gallery. None of these pictures are from Discovery Bay.
Right.
You see them. There's a section here. I'm living here, and you drop pictures in easy. You can update things. It's really, really,
who's
really
this,
nice.
What staff person is going to be assigned to kind of be the?
Each manager is going to be responsible for their own content, and then I'll be making sure the final review is correct.
Once the site is up and running or live, who's going to be the monitor?
The lady to your left.
She's the editor?
I'm sure I'll go in and update things, you know, and Dina might go in and add a document, but it's really going to be, it's going to be, Carol's going to carry the heavy load on it, on the updates, but we'll all be participating because now we don't know how to do it.
Awesome. Pretty good.
Some of the colors I'm not real thrilled with, for example, down here at the bottom, I don't really like this one. It's blue, and you can't even see the phone number down there. There's a number right here. You can't see it because it blends.
I'm sure
there's
it's
a lot
easy.
Of little tiny things we need to...
As easy as it is to manipulate, you should be able to change that color in a snap.
I tried.
You missed that lesson.
Yeah, that lesson coming up next week.
Colors are next week. So this week it's text.
Bill Clip has really been great, and he's letting us use his picture gallery. And all we need to do is make sure that we give him photo credit.
What about Stacy Chance? Might have some stuff that we could drop in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You need to drop that.
Some of those pictures in here are from him.
From Stacy?
Yeah.
Remember, he's taught a class in this. He's taught photography classes, you may want to contact him to get some pictures of the Discovery Bay.
Especially some of the areas.
All right.
Okay. The next thing is the schedule for a workshop. Trying to get two different subcommittees together, and the difficulty of getting four people together on the same day was at two different times was challenging. So what I'd like to do is sometime in July,
I think we should do it on the 8th.
It's my birthday.
I know.
That's why you said it. June, July. You know, July the 8th actually works really, really well because it's a Wednesday. This room is available every Wednesday for us. There's no activities taking
place. You're going to be gone, Chris?
I'll come back from Utah that day. But
what about the 22nd?
Following?
What is?
How? Can we do it in July, like later?
What do you anticipate the time frame?
Timing, like how much time for the meeting? It's basically going to be a round table discussion with Saul.
Hour and a half.
Probably an hour and a half, two max.
All right.
Yeah. Gregory Harris, his tendency to sometimes talk longer.
The 20.
Can we just go on like an hour or two early before the ridge?
It's up to the board. We can certainly, you know, it's the board's call. Yeah.
On the 15th or so? Well, it's hard to get in town. It's hard to
start at 6.
I was going to propose on the 15th to start at 6 and then push our regular meeting out. First, you know, start immediately following our special meeting.
How do you anticipate that?
What's the agenda load?
Yeah.
It's the agenda for on the 15th.
Yeah.
Like it's done.
At this point, it's a standard agenda. There's only one. There's a public hearing on it, which is the Ravenswood Zone 9. As you know,
that's a standard item.
I think we're just reading.
You guys okay with that?
Yeah.
Doing two meetings?
Start at 6 and just go to what else? Finish that one and go on.
Yeah. Adjourn from the special meeting home to the regular meeting?
Yeah. I think we start at 6 and then have our. Yes.
Does that work for you, Mark?
Second reminder.
Yeah, that's all I'm thinking. That's just one less day we have to come in, right?
What's
that? All the retired guys are going, yeah, it's fine with me. I like long games of golf.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
All day long.
Your day will come.
Yes.
I appreciate the confidence, Bob. I'm not quite there with you yet.
Yes, you are.
I hear somebody say 5:30.
Would 5:30 or 6 o'clock be the best time to start?
I can 5:30.
Hey, Mark's got the.
I can do 5:30.
Then I'm fine with 5:30.
5:30 and pizza.
You got it.
All right, 5:30
and pizza.
Right. Not necessarily, but I was kind of being facetious.
The meeting starts nearly fall. Okay. Any other?
It's not like I had dinner before I came down here tonight, so what's the big deal? I think we're going right at dinner. Are you drowning over there, Bill? Pardon? Are you drowning over there? I'm hearing all this bubbling.
Oh, I know this makes a lot of noise, but I don't know.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. The only other item I have is that last meeting, the board pushed the July 19th.
I've got something set up that makes
to noise. June 30, and I believe that meeting is being rescheduled back to July 1.
Yes. We're back on regular schedule. I appreciate you guys working with me on that June 30th. I've changed my plans.
Oh, good.
July 1, you guys will be here without me.
Oh, you're not going to be able to make it?
I'll be on a jet.
I'm on a jet plane.
I have a jet. And June 30th, and we'll make sure that we get it. We remind you. I don't remember the time. I believe it's 5. For the grand opening of the dog park.
Grand dog park. The grand dog park.
We got a notice on that? Yeah. Did we get an email about that?
It's a bit out there a little bit.
Can we get an email on that?
We will.
Carol?
Yes, sir.
And we're partnering with the chamber on that one. They were our. The chamber.
I don't know if I'm in. I don't think I'm
Veolia Water were our primary sponsors.
What time are you doing that?
5:30 p.m.
I think Snoopy's going to be there, so show up.
I don't think I was supposed to be in Santa Rosa that day. That was the whole deal.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think our meetings, our schedule hasn't changed for our regular scheduling. Anything else, Rick?
Nope.
All right. Rod, good to see you. How are you doing?
Nothing this evening for me to report.
Just Mountain House losing a lot of water.
How long do you do a board meeting?
That's not much better than water than what you are. You're Bluff Mountain House.
Wow. All that $1 million landscape. All right, so that's good to have you here. Any committee updates?
We do have two later this month. We have water, wastewater, I believe, next Wednesday, and Park and Landscape and Recreation, I believe, next Thursday. Or the week following. They're coming up and they're on the calendars, and you get, for those of you that are involved, you get reminders.
I need to jump back on the president's report. I did attend two meetings. On June 10th, I attended the Contra Costa LAFCO meeting. East Bay Mud, their water conservation group, had a presentation on how they, on how they're managing the water situation. And, you know, they rely on the reservoir systems up in the foothills. And some of those reservoirs are kind of about 25%, and they've had some pretty drastic issues going on. But I'm going to pass some information on to Rick. The gentleman's name was Richard Howard, and he had some good...
What was his name?
Richard Howard. He's the conservation...
What's my name?
Richard Harris. He had some really good... I like the online home water calculator, and you can calculate, you know, your usage and based on your configuration of your household. They got a landscape and development plan check system that seemed to be pretty interesting. There also was emergency medical fire service update. You know, there's no mutual aid agreements right now. There's some big issues between Confire and the ECFPD. There's not equal service out here. There's a lot of big issues on that, but they got an update on that. They're pushing out for a update on their MSR, and they're working on that. Looks like in June there's going to be a meeting for the Ag Conservation Corps that's going on around Discovery Bay, and how those uses and how they can commercialize some of that and how they can control the growth in those areas. Also, yesterday night I attended the Board of Trustees for the Byron Union School District. The school district was forecasting a deficit spending for the last few years. They are in not in a deficit spending before 2015-16. They did have an update on their bond measure. They are going to save $970,000 returning to the bond. But overall, the school district appears to be on more solid financial footing. So that was my report. Any correspondence from you, Todd? It looks like we have some. Nothing here. Okay, public records requests? None. Okay, any future agenda items?
Rick, the last meeting, we asked you to put on for a discussion of possible action unauthorized use of the town's roadway name. How come it's not on?
Because it's been removed from their website. I requested that they take it off last week, or after the meeting, and they took it off at the board's request. I meant to tell you under my comments, but thank you for bringing it up.
And the other question, I know you sent an email to Ruth about retracting the story. They showed us as a partners of the foundation.
Yes.
Did she ever do that with
that? Yes. It was retracted.
I never saw
it. It is a clarification.
Clarification.
Calls first and then calls afterwards, saying forget about it.
I just looked at it for something. And then the other thing that we talked about a couple months ago, you were going to keep us updated on this employee benefits thing, what's going on with that.
Sue's back, and Sue is my go-to person on that, and we talked about that today, and it is... It is, and I've been talking to Glenn about it, and he's actually going to be helping me out with it a little more. So it's not, it's an extremely complex and frustrating process, as I mentioned. But it is slowly working its way through.
Can you give us a break?
I'll give you an update on that next time. Okay. Maybe not next time, but in the first one, then you're just
sort of good at this.
Thanks for the ball and water, by the way.
You're welcome.
How did the configuration work tonight?
I think the directors need to be at that table.
I agree.
Okay.
So it's easier to be able to look over here and have the council see the manager.
It can't work that way. Because if you're the last guy, you can't see the president.
The president in the middle.
Oh, president in the middle.
Yes.
Okay. That would help. Because that's kind of the same way as it was. It's just...
That's the way I think almost all boards be. We would try different ways. That's fine.
You know, I can see you guys tonight at the office meeting. Okay. All right. You
have to be kind of at a tennis match, and you have to make sure you get both.
At this time, we're going to adjourn our meeting to July 1st, 2015.